Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me as we're wrapping up our week on Romans chapter 8. We're talking about how Christ and what he's done for us, and we really began to get into this yesterday, that Christ has done what the law, weakened by human flesh, could not do, which is to condemn sin, that sin in the human race, and not just in the human race, but in us individually, needs to be condemned. And so Jesus comes and he takes on the sin of the world, and that sin, even though he doesn't sin, because he's in the likeness of man, that sin is condemned in him. That sin is condemned in him. So now you and I, we don't have to pay, if we are in Christ, we don't have to pay the punishment of sin and ultimately eternal death. And that's why there is no condemnation. And so when we go to battle with the enemy of saying, don't bring that condemnation at me, the Holy Spirit can bring conviction, but I'm not in condemnation. It's not because we're saying, because I'm doing really well now and I'm not sinning anymore, or I'm not in, you can't bring that against me because, yeah, actually the thing you're pointing to that was a sin actually wasn't a sin. There's no way for us to defend ourselves. It's like going before a judge on a crime that we've committed and saying, trying to say, not guilty, not guilty. The way forward is to say, yeah, I'm guilty, but thank God the blood of Jesus has come. Thank God the blood of Jesus has been shed. I love the passage in scripture where Paul says the devil regretted shedding even a single drop of the blood of the Lamb. He had no idea what that would do, because even a single drop of that blood washes us clean. And if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, and the condemnation of the enemy has no power over us. And many of us in our lives, this can become really practical in our lives, and this part of the gospel and this reality of the gospel has actually really helped me and helping me continually in my interpersonal relationships to not become like insanely defensive. That actually, like, if someone's bringing something to me that I've done to them, I don't have to do all of these mental gymnastics of how I didn't do it or defending myself, because it doesn't mean something about me. It doesn't alter. It's like, yeah, you know what? Like, I do sin. Like, I do annoy people. Like, I do accidentally not listen or intentionally or whatever it is. And I can say that, and we can own up, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus and we're secure and confident in him. And he helps us grow by the recognizing that we are guilty. We were guilty, but Christ has come and he's taken on that guilty verdict so that the just requirement of the law is fulfilled in him. So friends, we're called today as we wrap up this week to live in that power, to live in the power of God, the power that God has against condemnation, because you're not meant to live in the bondage of shame. You're not meant to live in the bondage of your sin, that the Lord doesn't want you always like groveling and being like, I'm the worst. That as we've read in the Psalms, he wants you to live in the joy of your salvation. Not the depression of your salvation, not the discouragement of your salvation, the joy of your salvation. Each and every day, the joy of how Christ has saved us should be a reality for us. And that joy is not a personality type. It's the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved no matter what. And that produces in us the ability, inspired by God working through us, to choose joy, to be joyful in all circumstances. So we're going to go ahead and pray Psalm 34, and then we're going to wrap up this section of Romans chapter 8 that we have together today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I'm going to skip forward. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned, but the Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Lord Jesus, we extol you at all times. We give you praise. We worship you. We thank you for this week of going deeper and deeper into the reality, the joy of your salvation. Give us that joy today. Joy that allows us to enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Psalm 34 has become one of my favorite psalms, and it's made very often into a beautiful song. There's an old song, "Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from my fears." And it's just such a beautiful way to come together as a community. And I'll never forget last summer at the funeral of a young man who passed away locally. He was a very holy young man. They sang this Psalm 34, and it was at the funeral, and it was in the midst of just this unbelievable deep suffering and this just crying out of people singing, "I sought the Lord and he answered me." Like somehow in tragedy, the Lord is answering us. He's delivering us and just declaring, even in our hardest times, even in our suffering, "The Lord delivered me. He is the joy of my salvation. Taste and see that the Lord is good." And this sends the enemy running. And oftentimes it allows us to see the ways in our lives that the Lord actually is good, that his love actually endures forever. Amen. Amen. So let's practice that today. So I'm going to read Romans 8, but I'm going to start with verse 5 and go through verse 8. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So here again, we have this dynamic of the flesh and the spirit, the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh, again, isn't just referring to like our physical bodies. So this is not like dualism in practice here to say like your body is bad, but your soul is good. No, it's this bigger reality of the flesh, meaning sin, evil. What is hostile to God, human nature that is fallen. So flesh is the fallen human nature enslaved in bondage to sin. So what are things of the flesh? There's a lot of places that Paul lists this. And I think we can think of some things ourselves. Obviously, lust, right? The flesh, this word sarx is the Greek word, which I think is helpful. So like, what are things of the flesh? Selfishness, strife, jealousy, anger, sorcery, idolatry, licentiousness, impurity, immorality, drunkenness, carousing, the disordered sexual desires. And we see all of these things. That's in Galatians chapter 5. He says the works of the flesh, so what's produced by being distant from God, are plain, are clear: immorality, impurity, impure thoughts, lust, disordered sexual desire, disordered sexuality, idolatry, placing other things before God, sorcery, going to wicked and evil sources, going to other things that are not God, and witchcraft, enmity and strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, all of these things in our relationship with others that say, "Give me what's mine." Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. So he says to set, there's these two things warring at each other, the spirit and the flesh. But to set the mind on the flesh, says the, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So what you think about, you do. So if you're inputting into your mind these things of the flesh, if you're always watching Netflix shows that take it a little bit too far, if you're listening to music that isn't good and that's talking about fleshy things and the things of the world, if you're, you know, for me, it's like every time I'm like, oh, I need a new thing. If I'm indulging and going on Amazon, the more time I spend on my phone, the more fleshy I am, the more that I set my mind on the things of the flesh. What am I consuming? What am I talking about? Because that's how I'm going to live in order of importance, to set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's what we, how we live then. And I think many of us think like, oh, like I'm godly, like I want to do godly things, I want to be holy, but we're not reading the word. We're not setting our minds on the things of the spirit. One of the things I just went to confession for was kind of like stewing in anger over a particular way that I was wronged. And the wrong was a real wrong that was true, but it was producing this bitterness in me. It was producing this thinking about the wrong that this person was doing. And so I was responding in anger, and I was responding in anger because I was setting my mind over and over and over again on like, oh, this person did that to me. That's so hurtful. That's so hard. Da 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 da. Going on and on and on about it in my mind. And so it was producing something fleshing in me. But it says, those who set their mind on the Spirit will walk by the Spirit, will live by the Spirit. So what are these things of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. Are we thinking about what is good? Are we thinking about love? Like even when we go on and we watch shows, I'm just going to use that example again. Like, are we just watching things that are just trash, or are we watching things that are uplifting actually? You know, there's a show that I watched recently that it was actually beautifully, I felt so uplifted when I watched it because it was beautifully uplifting friendship and women loving each other and women walking through trials with one another. Are we setting our minds on joy? Are we saying like, Lord, I'm going to choose to be joyful? Are we setting our minds on peace? What are things that are peaceful? For me, when I go on my phone first thing in the morning and I pull up social media, that's not peace. It's the chaos of the world. Are we obsessed with watching the news? Are we obsessed with talking about the latest thing happening in politics? Are we obsessed even, like, it's interesting and it's good for us to be aware of what's happening in the world, but are we always bringing up some like tragedy that's happened in the world? Are we always like literally, for example, talking about war? Or are we setting our mind on peace? Kindness. Are the words that are coming out of my mouth, are the thoughts that I'm thinking about others kind? And if something comes up of like, oh, that person was weird, or I didn't like that, or they're not doing that for me, am I choosing to think a kind thought? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are we setting our minds on the Spirit? To set the mind on the flesh is death. It's so clear. When we walk in those fleshy ways, we die. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind is hostile to God and it does not submit to God's law. So our hearts and our minds aren't meant to be rogue with no law. They're meant to be submitted under the supreme law of God, which is the Spirit at work within us. And when we do that, what does the scripture say? We find life and we find peace. Sometimes when I'm agitated, I need to just sit in silence. Like if you ever felt chaotic and agitated, I just need to go sit in silence and I need to intentionally set my mind on things of the Spirit. And so I want to encourage you as we wrap up this week in battling condemnation to say, where is my heart agitated? And let me take a look at that and say, where am I setting my mind on the flesh? And where am I setting my mind on the things of the Spirit? Thank you so much for joining me this week. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.